It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we want with a saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all?
And this is KBOO Portland. It's coming up on 10 a.m., at which time we will hear Disability Justice, and Film at 11 will round out the hour, followed by Pacific Underground, talking about Japanese-American Summer Celebration of Obon. And don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air at kboo.fm, or on iTunes or Google Play. All these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. So those of you who have not yet become members of the KBOO Foundation can do so quickly and easily at kboo.fm and use the mobile app, or and then click on the little rectangle there that says donate. Some important news about what's going on in your community, and then, as promised, disability justice. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2, the Fringe Art and Music Festival on August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Dundee Lodge in Gaston, Oregon. Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2 features art, unlimited camping spots, a full bar, food carts, a nearby lake, and performances by Marisa Anderson, Pink Reason, Amps for Christ, Lavender Flu, and many, many more. This is an all-ages event. Again, that's Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2, the Fringe Art and Music Festival, August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Dundee Lodge, 50845 Southwest Dundee Road in Gaston, Oregon. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at The Cleaners at Ace Hotel in Portland. Bonds Over Borders is a benefit for Innovation Law Lab, a Portland-based organization that works to increase legal access for immigrants at detention centers, both locally and around the country. There will be live stand-up sets from Adam Passy and Dan Weber, and live music by Pedro Queriega. Again, that's Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at The Cleaners at Ace Hotel, 403 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, this is Disability Justice, an everyday pursuit and survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
And Dina Wilder,
board operator.
Today in the studio, we have Ann Coffey, Executive Director of United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon. Thanks for coming in, Ann, and thank you for listening. So the topic for today is This Is Our Voice, a continuing project in advocacy.
The two of you started this project, This Is Our Voice, and I'd like to hear from the two of you how the history of how it began.
Would you like to start, Anne?
Sure, no problem. Gosh, it was probably, what, around the turn of the year, December? John, you, came to me at UCP. Part of my job is to meet with customers who have concerns about services or other things that are going on in the field that I work in, which is services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. John, do you remember kind of what we did during that initial meeting to...
I do believe I came into you with some severe concerns. At the time, quite a few of my caregivers had come to me and said that they were having problems with a living wage and that they couldn't actually make a living in this field. And some of them were looking to move on. And I had some really great caregivers, and I didn't really want to lose them. So I was looking for some way to get onto the television news and just make people really aware that there's a problem within the intellectually developmental community. And I was really scared about losing some really great people. And so I started a list, and I went down the list, and I finally came to you thinking, well, Anne's got to have some resources and some contacts. I mean, she's overall director of United Cerebral Palsy. And yeah, I started talking to you. You sat down, you listened to my concerns, and I do believe you had me actually talk to Corey.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to unpack that just a little bit. We're both chatty. We love it. I remember we went through a process of you kind of writing down a variety of things that you had concerns with. And you described different scenarios to me of, you know, being upset because you didn't know if you were going to be able to keep a caregiver that you really liked. Being uncomfortable with having to share personal aspects of your life with so many different people coming in and out of it because of the high turnover rate. Not being able to necessarily utilize all the resources you have available to you to access community or other types of activities because you simply couldn't find qualified people to work with you who were willing to stick around and commit for the amount of wage that you're able to afford to pay. And so we kind of took all of those scenarios and came up with some general themes, one of which was paid caregivers that earn a living wage. And for you, that meant also retirement benefits, vacation and sick pay, adequate training and ongoing professional development resources, and mileage reimbursement for caregivers who drive that sustains kind of a professional level of caregivers for you to access. And that's how we kind of got to the topics, so to speak. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, and I also put in like getting them health care coverage as well.
Because, absolutely.
Yeah, nobody
affordable and yeah. quality health care coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you even mentioned alternative care as being part, alternative health care options as being part of a contemporary rich benefits package.
Uh-huh. So that we could actually get people who could turn this into a career rather than just a pit stop.
Yeah. So it was interesting for me to hear it from your perspective because I do lead an organization that employs over 200 individuals to provide supports to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We work with adults, we work with children, we work with families, we provide case management services, we provide residential supports, and we provide community-based supports as well as employment support. So it rang true for me, everything that you were saying. I hadn't really thought about the personal impact of what it takes, the amount of energy and the amount of emotion that it takes to have so many people coming in and out of your life and having to develop and maintain those relationships, let alone being able to simply do the things that you want to do every day that you benefit from support for. So it was a pretty interesting conversation. And I don't know about you, but I felt like we were both very quickly on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not just the only person who's having this problem. This is a truly immense problem throughout the entire just disability community.
Correct. We serve over 1,000 people roughly at UCP annually, and I've been employed at UCP since 2003. So I think that's about, gosh, knocking on 16 or just about 16 years, if I do my math right. Before I was in the executive director position, I was a community services director, so my hand was very involved in day-to-day service delivery to the people that we support and working very closely with what we call in this field direct support professionals, people that are our entry-level frontline workforce that provide hand-to-hand in some instances, but very direct support to individuals experiencing disabilities. So I was able to see the impact and feel the impact. It's been an ongoing problem in this field since I started, probably back 1993, 1994. The wages have always been just a little bit higher than what you would see the state minimum wage rate to be. And benefits, all the benefits, we won't have to list all the different types of benefits, but benefits also have tended over the years to not be as rich as what you would see in the for-profit community or even in other services that exist in human services that aren't necessarily people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, but maybe people that benefit from recovery services or people that benefit from, oh, I don't know, community safety supports or in-home supports due to aging, things along those lines. So it's been an ongoing problem for many, many, many years. It's just become a little more complex as Oregon has instituted a minimum wage increase into law that is now in its, I think, third step and moving towards close to $15 an hour at the end of the implementation. So it just causes a little more friction, so to speak.
What has been your first project for This Is Our Voice?
Just gathering people's voices, just gathering their testimonies of the difficulties that they're experiencing through the huge turnover in caregivers, the constant everyday struggles and just trying to stay alive when you've got to manage your caregivers, make sure there's always somebody on staff or that there's somebody there when you need them. And at the same time, having them leave because minimum wage is by no means a living wage. Not having enough benefits to turn this into career keeps people constantly moving on to the next step. And in the end result, we're the ones winding up with the bag. We're the ones winding up with winding up suffering because the state and federal government simply will not just turn around and turn this into a career that people can make a living at. And yeah, we're just really kind of screwed.
How are you gathering the stories?
Well, John actually met with, I employ a marketing coordinator who takes care of UCP Oregon's website and other formal publications and whatnot, media and such, branding. John and I talked for some time and decided that, yes, this is a problem. Yes, it's been a problem for a really long time. The Oregon legislature was at the beginning of commencing, and we thought, well, you know, as professionals in the field, assuming that there are professionals in the field, we gather and we advocate. And we do have customers that are involved in advocacy. But we'd never, at least in Oregon, we thought, really harnessed people's voices, families, people in services, the workforce, to share in some collective manner what it is that they're experiencing with the legislature. So John and Corey were connected. And I think one of the first things that they did was
sit down and have a great big, huge 3-2-hour long interview.
Yeah.
We talked for quite some time.
Yeah. And the effort was to help Corey build out a portion of UCP Oregon's website to host the project, This Is Our Voice. And so Corey spent some time with John collecting information as well as testimonial from his experience. And then she did the same with me from a provider organization leadership perspective. We took that information and some photos and some flair, and we began to work with Corey to build the website out. If you go to UCP Oregon's website and take a minute and look, you can see that This Is Our Voice is part of a drop down that you can go to, and it kind of walks you through what we wanted to be a very friendly, easy way to learn about the project and identify with it yourself and feel hopefully inspired to take action in a way that you feel comfortable with in sharing your story. Whether you're a person that experiences disabilities or you're a provider that works with people with disabilities, it's hard to ask people to share their stories if they're worried about maybe getting in trouble by their employer or maybe feeling judged by other people involved in a person that they're supporting life. And so we wanted to try to create a safe and easy platform as well as access for people to just call that had questions to assist them to engage and participate.
So how can we locate this website?
You can search in your search engine, United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon, or UCP of Oregon, or you can also go to ucpaorwa.org. And again, that's ucpaorwa.org.
Thank you. Any tips on what's there?
Well, you'll see as one of the headlines, or I don't know if that's technically the right word to say it, you'll see the title, This Is Our Voice. And it's set up kind of as a 1-2-3 step. The first section just talks about identifying with the issue, whether you're a caregiver or whether you're a person receiving services, to make sure that, you know, you're in the right place and you're wanting to support what the intention of the project is. There's three different options. One, to just share your story on a pre-populated, a populated form where you just go in and type some certain information and answer some very simple questions, and then give permissions whether or not you'd like anybody to reach out to you to talk to you more about your experience. So that's been super cool. And then there's a second and a third option, and that is to formally complain. In our field, empowerment tends to be something that you're lucky if you learn about ways to have your voice formally heard. And this allows for people to learn that, yes, there is a process where you can formally complain or grieve about something that you're experiencing, either as a support person or a person receiving supports. And here are the ways you can do it. One is to write/share your story, again, with a form that populates with what's called the Governor's Advocacy Office. And the other is to, on the same form, actually, which is funny, they use the same form, to share your story with the Office of Developmental Disability Services. Either way, if either one of those entities receives your story on their forms, there's very specific things that they have to do to respond to your complaint or your grievance, and timelines. All of those details are explained on the website and on the forms themselves. The wonderful thing about it is it really does empower people to access people in official positions within our government and requires the government to respond to them in some way, shape, or form after they investigate the issue. So it's a beautiful thing, especially if you're able to gather a collection of voices or high numbers of people to shine light on how big of an issue this is for them.
What are you hearing?
Well, the interesting thing is I'm hearing from all types of persons, people that work in the field, families, legal guardians, teenagers, and adults receiving services. The main theme is this idea that people's lives are private, and the people that we're supporting or that are being supported feel vulnerable naturally, that they're having to allow people into their homes, into other relationships that they have, to receive the supports that they really need to ensure that they have a healthy and safe life. So underneath it all is this theme or undercurrent of a fear of neglect, harm, or significant abuse. Obviously, when people have very delicate support needs and are inviting people in and out of their lives, and folks aren't staying very long or don't receive adequate training or ongoing professional development, there's a risk for bad things happening. By no means do I want to send a message that there are no quality providers of service that exist in Oregon. We have a wonderful group of people that provide excellent supports and have been in the field for a long time and intend to stay in the field for a long time. We simply don't have enough.
That's because we don't give them enough money and benefits to keep them around. And I want to keep my really good people.
I do too.
So you've started this project. You've got stories that you've gathered. And what has happened with those stories or legislatively?
We've had some stories that have not been formally filed with the Governor's Advocacy Office or the Office of Developmental Disability Services. We've had some stories where they have turned into, with support from myself or others at my organization, formal complaints. And what goes on with each individual is private information. But I think there's been some progress. Our legislature just closed at the end of July. And there was a 4% increase to providers to support direct support professional wage increases. There's various categories where we will receive that 4% increase. It's a little unclear to me how beholden we are to expending that 4%. I know the intention is an increase to direct support professional wages, but I don't know how we're going to be held accountable for that. I know at UCP, we're planning on passing it all on effective August 1st. There also is some money that's been set aside the second half of the biennium to continue to address capacity. It's not 100%, we're not there. This is just a toe into the water, and I believe pretty strongly that it's action that mostly resulted from the fact that Oregon has mandated minimum wage step increases over the next couple of years. It certainly does not get anywhere near the notion that we're paying people professional levels to do the things that we're expecting them to do in the delivery of intellectual and developmental disability services.
So what we need now is for you to go to This Is Our Voice and really put down your testimony, and I'm just calling out for everybody to, like, all the caregivers, all the people who are receiving care, their parents, anybody directly or indirectly involved in this field, to please start putting down your voice and start taking action. The more we get, the greater our results, and we'll be able to hold on to really great caregivers like Dina Wilder. So, Anne, is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd really like to encourage people to go to United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon's website. This Is Our Voice. Read about it. There's sample letters. There's testimony. There's forms. There's things that you can do, including contact me on my phone at any reasonable hour for assistance. The goal here is to develop a grassroots movement among all of us who are living this experience every day. Top-down change around direct support professional wages hasn't really worked very successfully. I won't go into my opinions about that, but I believe high numbers of voices will result in the change that we're looking for, and it needs to come from the people involved. So get involved.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne, for coming into the studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hopefully we will see you again sometime soon, or hear from you again sometime soon.
Sure thing.
Well, John, what do we have in the community this month?
Thanks for asking, Dina. UCP is going to hold its annual walk, run, and roll on September 21st, 1615 Southeast 3rd Avenue, Portland. You can start registering today.
Where can you register at?
The website is www.ucporegon.org.
All right. Thanks, John. I want to share with you all about Public Annex, an art and farm-based program. On Wednesdays from 10:30 to 1, they have their art program that meets at Tabor Space. And then on Sundays, they have a side yard annex farm at 5940 Northeast 45th Street, and they have a work party from 11:30 to 2. The Wednesday art program is $5, and the Sunday work party is free, and you often come home with a little something to eat. So those are both things that I highly recommend.
Real Choice Initiative will once again be having its coffee hour on August 24th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on the fourth floor in the kitchen. The building address is 2475 Southeast Ladd Avenue in the Seven Corners building.
And this is something that's going to be happening regularly, right, John?
Yes, it is.
Every fourth Saturday?
That is correct.
Great. And what happens at those meetings?
A group of people with disabilities come together to discuss their problems and discuss the solutions to those problems.
That sounds really important.
I'd like to remind all those with disabilities that self-advocates taking action happens every second Friday of the month.
And what time?
It is from 11 to 1.
And location?
Location is the Seven Corners building on Division.
And what happens at these meetings?
We just try and figure out what in the world we want to get in and advocate
it,
for.
You do legislative work?
Yes, we do legislative work. We also sometimes do federal work and stuff like that.
Okay, great.
So, Dina, what do we have that's fun?
I want to tell you about DJ Lamar. He has such great music. I love dancing to his music choices. And he puts on the Last Chance Dance, which has been going on for a really long time. And he puts these on at the Russellville Grange at 12105 Northeast Prescott. And it's from 6 to 9 every fourth Friday of the month.
And how much does it cost?
We think it's $3. Sometimes you can, there's lots of snacks. So, yeah, I love dancing to his music.
Sounds like fun. That's the end of Disability Justice. Since we cannot be fully aware of everybody's difficulties within the community, we would really like it if you would send us your email, disabilityjustice@kboo.org.
Also, we're always looking for fun, inexpensive things to do out in the community. Go to disabilityjustice@kboo.org to contact us and give us your ideas.
This is KBOO Portland. It's coming up on 10:30, at which time we will bring you Film at 11, in which our heroes survey the week's new releases and what's playing at the indie and art houses, including Where'd You Go, Bernadette? At 11, Pacific Underground talks about the Japanese-American summer celebration of Oban. And you can catch all this stuff later on at kboo.fm or on iTunes or Google Play. This is all possible because of all the support that KBOO receives from the community, including KBOO programming is made possible in part by KBOO member listeners and support from Dark Side Cinema, open every night and featuring independent, foreign, and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com.
Okay, film at 11, actually 10:30, that's the old joke. This is our weekly report on movies, and the special co-host today is Fortunato.
Hi there.
Of the Monday Sampler.
And your host, of course, is DK Holm.
And also Gremlin Time.
Oh, yes.
When is your next Gremlin Time?
It will be this Monday.